Good morning. It is August the 25th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. And the title for my message is Redeeming the Time. And my scripture passage comes from Psalm 46, verse 7 and 11, then Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 17. Let's hear from the psalmist. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And from Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, chapter 5, verses 8 through 17. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Redeeming the time. I'm going to begin my message with a riddle. And as I read this riddle, I want you to think about what the possible answer might be. This thing all things devours, birds, beasts, trees, flowers, gnaws iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to meal, slays kings, ruins towns, and beats high mountains down. What is it? Well, that riddle comes out of the book titled The Hobbit, and it was a word game that was being played between Gollum and Bilbo Baggins. And in the darkness of the misty mountains, this riddle game went on, and the answer to that is time. You know, the Western society that many of us live in is bound, and some would even say enslaved, to the clock. In the modern world, the clock is the symbol we cannot escape. It is ubiquitous. It is everywhere. A gentleman by the name of Lewis Mumford was a 20th century American historian, critic, and also a philosopher of technology. And he noted the following, that the abolition of the clock would collapse our society. Quote, the modern industrial regime could do without coal and iron and steam easier than it could do without the clock. Unquote. The clock has become the symbol of time in the modern world. And we find ourselves dominated by it. In ancient cultures and societies, time was governed by the seasons, by migration patterns, by a natural rhythm found in God's creation. But in the modern world, the symbol of time is the clock. So just think of it this way. As children, we are told it is time to go to bed, and also it's time to get up. Some of us who worked in a union job might remember having to clock in and to clock out. For many people today, going into an office setting, you are probably given a badge or a fob, and you will badge in or fob in or out. Well, let's expand upon this notion of time. Just think about it. As adults, we are often told to be on time and not to waste time. And inevitably, we will mutter to ourselves and others that we never have enough time. It would seem that all of our lives are dominated by the clock. Because we don't eat when we feel hungry, or we don't sleep when we are tired, but when the clock tells us to. It's not time to eat. It's not time to go to sleep. It's time to go. Etc., etc., etc. Emil Brunner was a 19th and 20th century neo-Orthodox theologian. And if you're not familiar with what a neo-Orthodox theologian, it's someone who is between conservative and liberal in their understanding of theology. Somewhere in the middle. Well, Emil Brunner said that many people today in the modern world are, in a sense, time panic. That they are desperately trying to compress as much as possible in their life. And he goes on to say further that many moderns are in this time panic void because they have lost eternity in their hearts and in their minds. We have a cliche that many of us are fond of thinking or hearing or saying, where time waits for no one, or time marches on. And we are haunted by the fact that we will miss out. And so what do? We jam as much as possible into our lives, constantly looking at our phones to see what time it is, who is texting us, what email did we receive. In a very large measure, that is Western culture and society today. However, in Eastern society and culture, and I am predominantly talking about what we call Asia and India, time, historically, from their understanding, is an illusion. It has no reality. The temporal world is only an appearance. And consequently, time, therefore, is nothing. And that is why in Eastern societies, they are in no hurry. And that is why they always have time. For Christians, the significance of time is not found in gaining material possessions or pursuing pleasures unlimited, but in the experience of God. In the saving work of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We, the Church of Jesus Christ, should not be anxiously preoccupied with time, nor should we be indifferent to it. We shouldn't think it is the most important thing, nor should we think that it doesn't exist or that it is meaningless. As Christians, we are to take time seriously, and that means being creative and constructive with the time that has been given to us. As Christians, we realize that time is important and that it is a trust given to us from Almighty God. I think most of us, if we are adults, we come to the realization that time flies by. And before you know it, we ask ourselves, where did the years go by? Paul the Apostle, in writing to the Ephesian church on this topic of time, says the following: See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. What is important is what happens in our lives. What are we doing with the time that has been given to us? How are we redeeming the time in our lives? There are moments when we feel time is of the essence. And some days are more special and sacred to us than other days. That's a fact of life. Winston Churchill, the British Prime Minister during World War II and shortly thereafter, commented before D-Day that he felt as if he was walking with destiny, and that all his previous past life had been but a preparation for the hour and for this time that was known as D-Day. Because D-Day, on June the 6th in 1944, the invasion of Normandy would forever change the trajectory of World War II and the fortunes of literally millions upon millions upon millions of people. Are we redeeming the time in our lives? Are we redeeming the time in our family's life? Are we redeeming the time in the community that you live and work and play in and worship in? For Americans, are we redeeming the time for our nation in this critical presidential election that with so much at stake? Americans have the opportunity to make a decision for freedom and liberty and our Constitution, or they can make the decision to embrace cultural Marxism and tyranny and censorship and a reduced standard of living, and I'm going to say it, a hopelessness. So, even though we know time and our days are temporal, they can become moments of eternal significance. God speaks to us in time. And to those who are listening, if you are frantic, if you're stressed out, if you're anxious, I would ask you, implore and pray to your Heavenly Father, to the Lord of heaven and earth. The psalmist writes the following, and I did quote it earlier, Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. That is the answer to a society that is perpetually awake, to a society that cannot rest and be at peace, to a society in a world filled with anxious thoughts and moments. You know, Greek philosophers and theologians use two different words for our one word that we call time. Chronos, many of you are familiar with that, means duration. It is a fixed measure of time, and that's where we get our word chronology. And then there's another word, kairos. Kairos means the appointed time, the appropriate time, the time of fulfillment. And the kairos time is what many pastors and theologians have preached and taught and written about. You see, a life with God is more than a total aggregation or moments in our lives. It is more than time measured in years or even decades. It is a life filled with significance, with meaning, and purpose. There are dates for all of us that stand out in our lives that have tremendous significance and meaning to us. Maybe it was the day that you married. It was the day when your children were born, or maybe even your grandchildren were born. Or possibly it was the day when a loved one died. And for others, they remember vividly the day that they were born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are moments in time that changes forever, and so it is with God as well. God, too, has his times and seasons. Let me read from Paul's letter to the Galatians, to the Galatian church. It's chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Paul writes the following: "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters." There's that word again, redeem. Redeeming the time means being aware, being astute, and acknowledging God in the moment, but also beyond the moment as well, in our lifetime as a believer of the Lord Jesus. So let's flesh this out if it's possible. Redeeming the time in your life means not letting the urgent, the immediate things of life, the temporary things of life, crowd out and diminish the important things of God, those things that are eternal. Too many times in Western society and culture, we live by life's demands and not God's priorities. And to illustrate this fact, Jesus, near the end of his earthly ministry in Israel, looked over Jerusalem and cried out, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." And Jesus was prophesying about the Roman invasion and destruction and the siege that was laid upon Jerusalem and the temple. Chronos time is now Kairos time. And the psalmist writes, "Today, if only you would hear his voice." That's Psalm 95, verse 7, for your reference. How many people do we know whose eyes have not been opened to the Kairos time in their life? How many people do we know whose ears have remained closed to the Kairos time at that moment in their life? How many people do we know whose hearts are as hard as steel to eternity and they do not recognize the Kairos time in their life? The time is short. The end is approaching for all of us. Did you know that each new day brings us 24 hours? Yeah, most of us realize that. Well, those 24 hours are broken down into 1,440 minutes, or how about 86,400 seconds? God is calling you and I to redeem the time, to be good stewards with the trust that he has given to us. John Wesley, in a letter to his wife, and his wife's name was Molly, wrote the following: "Redeem the time, catch the golden moments as they fly." Time is an elusive commodity. We can't save it, retrieve it, or relive it. We can't stretch it, borrow it, loan it, stop it, or store it. We can only use it or lose it. The day is coming when there will be time no longer, just eternity. Are you redeeming the time God has given you in your life? Amen.